Oh, hey, Steve.
Oh, hey, Mike.
Well, what's wrong, buddy?
Well, I just got this new water bottle, but it just looks so plain.
Well, have I got the store for you. Introducing the Wild Edible World Podcast Merch Store.
Wowie, wow!
It's the merch store where you can get all of your favorite podcasts merch for all your decorating purposes.
How do I find that?
Go to wildediblewworldpod.shopify.com. Or go to any of our Instagram and media accounts and view the link in the bio.
Wowie wow!
It's another Wild Edible World podcast episode. I'm one of your hosts, Michael.
And I'm Steve. And all your jars and small containers, beware. This episode is all about dehydrating and just drying out those delicious things we find throughout the year.
Yep. We're going to justify all those old spaghetti sauce jars you've saved. Every single one of them. You're going to use them.
This is officially going to be my wife's least favorite episode as she torments me for collecting every jar. But like I do with, I mean, if anybody's paid attention to my Instagram recently, I displayed the pea shoots that I made, and I grew those in a lettuce container that's probably about 2 years old at this time.
Oh my God.
And I grew lettuce in it prior to this, and I reuse everything, man. I try to use it until it officially starts to like decompose, and then I'll retire it into, you know, the appropriate places.
Very admirable, Steve. I'm more guilty of glass jars. If it's glass, I'm definitely gonna keep it. If it has like a rubber stopper to the top, like a whiskey bottle, definitely keeping those, because I love those for like syrups. And well, I buy cases of swing top.
Yeah, those swing tops are gold.
Cases.
Like,
but, yeah,
any Grolsch drinker will probably attest to me stealing all their stuff.
Exactly. Yeah, I keep all my meat bottles, but yeah, I mean, so dehydrating, you want to utilize all sorts of recycling things for storage. I mean, reduce, reuse, recycle is really important. But I guess, you know, one of the major pros of dehydrating is getting the most out of your harvest. So, you know, there's just so much. I mean, America and I guess a lot of more modern or technologically developed countries are really guilty of astronomical amounts of food waste.
Yeah.
So one of the ways we can reduce that is by preserving everything we harvest from the wild, and also, you know, just also using those methods in other areas of our life if we don't already. So one of my favorite things to do is to dehydrate. I dehydrate like everything.
Perfect example is that bushel of apples you bought.
Oh my God, yeah.
And now you just have so much stuff.
Now I have tons of apple chips that are like the best apple chips you will ever have. They're tangy and delicious. It's awesome. Making your own little fruit snacks is really easy and awesome, especially if you guys go hiking a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Making your own trail mix, really, really easy. It's way too expensive at the store. Buy your own fruit, dehydrate it, and there's a method of different methods of dehydrating that we'll go through on in this episode. You know what? Let's start with that.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's start with that. So, like, the different ways that you can dehydrate your food. Obviously, you can buy a dehydrator, right?
Yeah.
Do you have a dehydrator?
I do.
Me too. So there's a couple different models, and I do have a preference. I've thought about it a lot whenever I bought mine. And there's a couple different designs. So you have, I think, the more affordable types where it heats from the bottom. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're kind of like circular and they're stacking. So they heat from the bottom and then you're stacking all your things on top of that. And the air is being pushed up through all the different stages and it dehydrates your stuff. It works.
It does work.
I prefer a back heating model. So it's got a bunch of shelves, but the heating element is at the back, so it's blowing across all of the layers as opposed to through all of them from the bottom up. So I think that is going to more effectively and more efficiently dehydrate your vegetables and fruits and mushrooms.
It's definitely a little bit more worry-free because then you don't have to worry about switching the layers and some things being done at different times.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And it's, I think it's definitely the preferred route if you're going to be doing, if you're interested in jerky at all.
For sure.
You need to be dang sure that you're hitting the right temperatures and moisture levels pretty uniformly. You can't really have any ifs, ands, or maybes.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want rotted meat.
You do not.
So what else is there? There's the Beck. I think that's pretty much it. There, you know, there's the standard brand name Excalibur, which is a pretty good. I think they have like a folding model that you can even like collapse down. But I've never used any of their stuff.
I haven't used that either. The only other thing I've done is this is like an Alton Brown method of I think he like marinated the jerky first and then took like filters like that you would use for like a ductwork system and like used toothpicks to like basically stick the meat to the filters and like stacked them like five deep, put them on the front of a box fan on a summer's day and just crank that thing. He said he let it go for a few days and between, you know, like a sunny summer window and the airflow, it got the job done.
Yeah.
So I think that's so cool. I would probably, if I were going to use that method, and that's an incredibly cost-effective method because you can buy those for like a dollar a piece. Mm-hmm. And most people have a box fan laying around, maybe a bungee cord or two. I would stick with maybe dehydrating your herbs that way or fruit, something that's a little bit less risky.
Yeah, yeah. And is going to be less anguish whenever you if you do lose it.
Yeah.
Yeah, box fan tech. I like that.
It's creative.
It is creative. Another creative way, utilizing natural energies like the sun.
Yeah.
Your car actually is a natural dehydrator in the warmer months. Even I think as early as like April, like as soon as we start getting a good amount of sun exposure, and I think we've talked about this in earlier episodes too. But we definitely make sure to mention it here. You stick like a cookie sheet with your intended dehydrated herbs or fruits or thinly sliced whatevers, and you set it on the dashboard of your car. And the inside of your car, on average, I mean, if you care about people leaving dogs or cats in the car, you are aware of how hot it gets inside of cars when you leave all your windows up and everything. So that definitely is a less controlled method. So sometimes you can end up zapping a little of the nutrition out of your food if you kind of use too high temperatures, or you're going to have not necessarily nutrition loss, but flavor loss. I mean, we want our stuff to taste good as well as be good for us. So you want to, you know, use a little bit of discretion whenever you're choosing to dehydrate something in a hot car. But it can work really well. And also the sunlight naturally infuses all of your ingredients with vitamin D. Mostly mushrooms are known for that, but I'm pretty sure it adds a little bit of vitamin D to everything. But definitely the mushrooms soak that in big time.
I think that's most of, I mean, there's going to be a billion more things that people use to dry or to preserve. But I think those are my favorite.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess just a couple helpful tips to make sure that your stuff stays dried is well-sealing jars, making sure that those jars themselves are fully, if you're recycling older jars, make sure that they're fully cleaned out, fully dry. I would suggest investing in ordering from wherever, Amazon, it'd be kind of hard to find at a, but maybe you'd be able to find it at a big box store somewhere. But a bag full of desiccant packets.
Sure.
So that's that stuff that you find in jerky or, you know, a lot of clothes sometimes. So it's basically these silica gel pieces that suck in all the moisture. So if you buy a bag of those, you'll have, 200 or something like that. That's what I did. I bought a big bag of them. And now I just stick one in every single jar. Every little thing I have that I have dried, even if it's a baggie, which isn't that secure, but I do it too. You just throw a desiccant packet in there.
And I've absolutely done it the other way and regretted it for sure. If you don't use them in a timely fashion,
exactly,
you're definitely going to want that that packet in there.
Yeah, and a lot of my stuff kind of sits for a couple months sometimes. I like preserving stuff seasonally and then using it out of season to be too. Like warm spring feelings, you know, in the middle of winter.
So. I like to have like different pollinators or different flowers for pollinators in the garden that I can also use in like a tea, for a tea garden as well. So I like pull most of the flowers or foliage from those plants and dehydrate. Same thing. I'd like to be able to taste that or smell that spring and summery aroma in the winter when it's all, well, it's not that bad today, but.
Right, yeah, we're talking about how bad winter is on a 50-degree weird December day. But, in parallel to maintaining your temperature when you're dehydrating, maintaining the dryness after you've dehydrated really helps maintain the freshness that you've captured whenever you dehydrate.
Yeah, because some things you're going to dehydrate to a lesser level, like your fruit leathers are going to have a little bit more moisture than your mushrooms that you dehydrate. You can fully dehydrate those, and they reconstitute really well. So, there's certain things that are definitely going to need it more than others. Yeah,
I think that settles it for our preferences and some kind of suggestions on how to dry stuff. We'll close out this first half, and then we'll come back in the second half and talk pros and cons to drying, specific things, and why you might want to choose a different method, or why you would want to choose dehydrating. Steve.
Oh, hey, Mike.
Well, what's wrong, buddy?
Well, I just got this new water bottle, but it just looks so plain.
Well, have I got the store for you. Introducing the Wild Edible World Podcast Merch Store.
Wowie wow!
It's the merch store where you can get all of your favorite podcasts merch for all your decorating purposes.
How do I find that?
Go to wildediblewworldpod.shopify.com. Or go to any of our Instagram and media accounts and view the link in the bio.
Wowie wow!
And we're back from our break.
Missed ya.
So we're here to talk about some pros and cons to dehydrating. So, Steve, we had to stop ourselves from chatting because we just keep going.
We always do that.
But you're, you know, as a gardener, you're growing peppers frequently. Yeah. And so there's a variety of different ways. You don't always want to dry your peppers. You don't always want to freeze them. You know, what are some of the choices you make?
So just there's different things that are going to lend themselves better to different methods of preservation. So we're talking about like a chili pepper. Mm-hmm. If you stick it in the dehydrator, let that puppy go, it's gonna turn into like a minuscule fraction of what it was. You know, you might have a chili pepper that weighs 2 ounces. You're going to end up with half an ounce of dried flake.
A lot of water.
Yeah, exactly. And that you're going to be able to use in like, you know, in chili or maybe to season a piece of something. And you're not going to get any of that pepper texture from it. You're going to get the heat. You're going to get the flavor as opposed to freezing, which is I'm a big fan of. My neighbor gave me just a ton, like a bag full of shishito peppers, and I froze those, and I've been using them in like stir fries and things like that throughout this winter so far, or this fall winter so far. And you get that same pepper texture flavor. Depending on the ingredient, like you started to go into mushrooms, depending on the ingredient, maybe depends on the method a bit.
Yeah, definitely. And you can't even say mushrooms as a whole do better freezing because there's, you know, there's such a spectrum of organisms. There are some that you definitely should not freeze, and there's some that like go best both ways, honestly. Like, so Chicken of the Woods, for an example, it has this really like meaty texture. It's really firm. It freezes really well. I've used it frozen and then taken it out and then I think I battered it and fried it even.
Nice.
But a lot of people will recommend that you batter it. You kind of like par cook it, batter it, and then stick it in the freezer. Hmm. So that way you can just drop it, dry it right into the oil hot from the freezer.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Same thing with morels.
Yeah.
That a lot of people prefer battering them and then freezing them and then cooking them afterwards, as far as storage is concerned. But on large, I think by and large, mushrooms in general are pretty reliably good dehydrated. They rehydrate really well. And it's kind of the same thing. I think, you know, we've talked before in other episodes about like the actual water content of some of these mushrooms that are like 90-something percent water. So that's why we recommend not soaking your mushrooms, but rinsing them or washing them. And then whenever you dehydrate them, all that water content is gone. It's the same thing. You're going to end up with like just like a little, like a pillow. Just like it's some of the Chicken of the Woods specimens I have almost feel like styrofoam afterwards. There's just so much water in between the cell walls. But whenever you've dehydrated your mushrooms, there's a variety of things you can do with them. I think a lot of people just typically know like, oh yeah, you just rehydrate them. And as far as that is concerned, I'll try not to get too off track. But when you're rehydrating your mushrooms, you can use hot water, but you can also use cold water. It doesn't have to be like boiling hot water in order to get like full rehydration. It's more about the time, and you also want to keep that broth. You know, that's a delicious mushroom liquid that's been left behind that's infused with a lot of the flavor in the mushroom. So if you can use that as well, try to. But I was trying not to get off track.
No, I think you're there. I think that dehydrated mushrooms are incredible rehydrated. I think that you can impart a ton of flavor as well as take flavor from the mushroom. But you always like keep in mind if you're going to use water, that's fine. The mushroom flavor, like you said, is going to make like a great broth or something of that nature afterwards. But you can also impart flavor onto your end dish by like using a stock or something like that.
Yeah, and it doesn't. Totally.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So after that, you can also turn it into a powder. So this is something that I usually do. I like making seasoning mixes. So I think dehydrating wild mushrooms is a really easy way to add some really fun, interesting umami into your seasoning mixes. Like I do kind of spice bush, some Chicken of the Woods. I'm going to do one later in a few weeks that's going to be like Hen of the Woods, Chicken of the Woods, wood ear. It's just going to have like a stupid amount of mushrooms in it and like a couple other like really fragrant spice berries. And I've been giving stuff like that away for my family too. So
I saw your post. Yeah, that was so cool.
Dehydrating mushrooms is a really easy way to like spread some seasoning and, you know, get the most out of your harvest as well.
I did this dehydrated vegetable mixture last year. I took mirepoix, which is carrots, onions, celery, dehydrated those from the garden, and then I have this variety of pepper called a habanada. So it's like a habanero with none of the heat. So it's all that citrusy deliciousness. I dehydrated that, and then I'm not sure. I think it was hens. I think Hen of the Woods dehydrated everything, combined it all into one powder with a little bit of Himalayan salt and black pepper and it's almost like an additive if you're making a soup just like imparts a ton of flavor.
Whammy.
Yeah. Wowie wow.
Wowie wow. Yeah. So let's kind of try and switch to talking about when you wouldn't want to dehydrate something. So the very first thing that comes to my mind, I'll lead with this,
sure,
is pawpaw fruit. Pawpaw is so delicious. It's creamy. It's one of the best fruits I've ever had, and it's a remarkable native North American fruit, but you cannot dehydrate it. There is one horror story after another of people just getting uproariously sick from eating pawpaw fruit leather. It has to be like cooked and processed in a way, and where dehydrating it concentrates these compounds. I'm not too well versed in it because I've just known well enough to just not do it. It's not an option. It will make you sick. So sometimes you want to avoid it with specific things. So again, yeah, it's not all fruit. You're going to want to avoid it in some cases. So yeah. What is another bad example for you?
Let's see. What's a bad dehydration I've done?
I can. Well, if you're thinking,
yeah, go ahead.
Another one on deck.
Yeah,
and it's puffball mushrooms. As fun as those are, as interesting as it is, like the different things you can do with puffball whenever it's dried. So you can add it to like flour mixes and make like a puffball bread, puffball banana bread or something like that. The amount of just like dust that it creates because of how just like fluffy and light and airy it already is. And then you pull all the moisture out of it. And all of a sudden, like, you touch it, and it's crumbling. It's just, like, turns to powder. So it can be kind of difficult to manage. Even whenever you're blending it, it's just sending it up into the air. It's a bit of a mess.
Yeah, honestly, I haven't had a ton of failures. Just, like, a ton of things that didn't go well. Just different applications for each thing. Certain vegetables, like zucchini chips, aren't very chippy. They always end up like too soft.
Spongy?
Yeah. So, I mean, unless you're going to like dehydrate the heck out of it and then powder it and use it as like a flavoring, you know, that sort of thing. So my whole goal with that veggie mixture I was talking about before was to make almost like a soup mixture. So maybe if I'm feeling a little bit under the weather, to take a spoonful of that and add it to a cup of hot water, so I have almost like a broth.
Oh, there we go.
You know, so that was my goal with that. So, and that is definitely a vegetable that lends itself more to that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's about it.
Yeah, I guess. So, I mean, it's not that bad of a technique, really. There's not too many cons. I'm sure there's stuff we've missed that you would never want to dehydrate, and I'm sure there's stuff that is better not dehydrated. But whether it's bad or unusable whenever it's dehydrated could be debatable. So it's a pretty safe method for food preservation, especially if you have some of the controls that we've advised, using some desiccant packets, some well-cleaned, well-sealing jars.
Mm-hmm.
That'll make your stuff last the longest. So with that, I think we can bring our dried episode to its conclusion.
And this is our last episode of the year.
Yeah.
Frick.
Yep. It's been a really, really fun year. 2022.
Yeah.
It's been a blast, guys. Thanks so much for listening with us and supporting us, buying our stickers and our pins. For those of you that did, for those of you that didn't, you still have a chance.
Good news is that they're still around in 2023.
There's still tons. And I've actually added keychains to the store. We have a limited amount of those, so those are pretty cool. We'll be getting die-cut stickers in as well. If you don't want just a normal, boring circle, now we've got it cut out for you. Sheesh.
Yeah, I mean, just thank you so much. This is something that we started this year that has been really good for us, and not even just like to make us more popular in social media, but like,
well,
but you know, to like the, it's been good for us.
Yeah,
like again, it helps me mentally and spiritually to be able to sit here with Michael and talk to you about things that we love so much.
Mm-hmm.
And to bring you folks into our little club.
Yeah. So, and then to be able to send it out over the internet and to have so many people reach out to us over this year, just in the, you know, 30 episodes that we've released, you know, we've had a lot of people reach out to us and say how much they've appreciated this project. And that really means a lot to me because that's exactly, I mean, this is exactly what I was looking for whenever I got really into foraging a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. I really wanted to just kind of immerse myself in it and just listen to people talk about it. So,
and the best part is that this is just the very beginning. We've taken a very shallow approach to these first few episodes. We're just dipping our feet in the water, trying to get a feel for this whole thing. And we did that. We've had a couple different interviews. We just did one with Lisa Rose. We're getting ready to do one right now. Mm-hmm. We'll give you more info about that later. But that is something that we're going to pursue in the new year, as well as maybe a little bit of a New Year's resolution. I personally would like to get us set up in, I mean, even if we build up my plant room into a studio in my basement and get something visual going on, because a lot of people like to watch.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're so cute. So,
well, I mean, yeah, we are very hot. No, just be able to have it accessible on a larger, freer platform like YouTube or something. Mm-hmm. I think that would do a lot to get more of this fun information out to people. So, yeah, I totally agree. I vibe with that resolution. My resolution for this show, more interviews, I think. Yeah, we need to talk to more cool people. There's tons of fascinating people across the whole world that are doing really, really interesting things that have to do with foraging. And
we have so many friends in the community that would be excellent to have on the show.
Yeah.
So just so many.
Yeah, it's going to be a good year next year, so... Thank you for following along, and we hope you continue sharing this show with your friends and the people that you know that are going to be interested in this, and reviewing us on Spotify or Apple. We read a lot of those. It's kind of hard for me to access Apple, but we read every single one of them. I'm always sending Steve all the messages you guys send
Definitely.
Us, so keep reaching out to us. We love it.
Yeah.
And here's to a great new year.
Happy New Year.